Hello there, true believers. This is Head Speaks, a proud member of the Headcast Network family of shows. As usual, I am your host, Aaron Moss, aka Head. This is my mostly monthly Headcast, where I talk about comics, movies, role-playing games, TV shows, and anything else geeky that I want. So sit back and enjoy the ride. Let's begin. And welcome back to Head Speaks. This is episode 59. I know I haven't been quite as regular as I'd like to be. Last month was a five-hour episode, so you're probably still listening to that. Again, I want to rethank Tim Price for showing up to talk 5 hours or so with me about Amazing Spider-Man. I want to thank the Irredeemable Shag for helping with the opening. And of course, Derek W.C. from the Fanholes podcast for putting together this year's little Marvel, I keep messing it up. Anyways, the MMS 2021. Thanks, guys, for all your help and support and just for being great guys. But I hope you guys listened to all of those different podcasts out there regarding the Acts of Vengeance last month. They're all great. Or most of them were. I'm sure there were a couple bad ones, but, you know, I didn't hear them, so I'm assuming they're all, the rest of them, I'm assuming they're all great. Anyways, let's go and get off my show. As I've talked about, I'm going to start, this month, we're going to start looking at the Power of the Atom. Before I did that, I was debating how to do it. Oh, before I get that far, let me go ahead and play the intro.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
The Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is...
What's in Head's Long Box?
Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind. The world's greatest.
So as I started to say earlier, I'm going to start covering Power of the Atom. I was going to do the first issue, and then I thought, well, maybe I'll do a recap of the Atom's origin. But I kind of did that a little bit already, and we just covered Sword of the Atom. Well, I say just covered about a year ago. So I got thinking. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I checked online to see where the Atom's next appearance was, make sure I wasn't missing something between the Power of the Atom and the Sword of the Atom and the Power of the Atom. And apparently the Secret Origins issue 29, it just came out right around the same time as the first issue of Power of the Atom. It's the next appearance of the Atom. It sums up his origin, his history. I think it's a great way to start looking into the Power of the Atom. So this month we're going to look at Secret Origins, issue 29, or at least the first part of it, which is the Power of the Atom. So as I normally do, here are the stats on this issue. This was Secret Origins, issue number 29. The cover date was August of 1988. The on-sale date was April the 19th of 1988. The cover price was $1.50. The title of this story was called The Secret Origin of the Atom. This story ran about 19 pages. The writer was Roger Stern, penciler Dwayne Turner, inker Keith Stan Wilson, letter Todd Klein, colorist Nancy Houlihan, cover artist Graham Nolan, editor wonderful guy Mark Wade, and this was reprinted in Legends of Tomorrow, The Atom, trade paperback in 2018. And here's the synopsis, again, from Mike's Amazing World of Comics. In the jungles of the Amazon, the Atom heads to an archaeological dig, which locates the star drive of the alien ship, which brought the people of Morlidae, again, I have a problem with that word, to Earth. As he examines the sphere of the white dwarf material, the Atom tells the others the story of how he became the Atom. When the tale is done, the city falls under attack by a tribe of Outlanders. The Atom takes action to defend the city, and he triumphs. Adam then returns to the lab, where he finds a way to restore the people of Morlida to normal height, but he wonders if doing so would be a wise decision. To be continued. Dun-dun-dun! Oh, it's not really dun-dun, but well, maybe. I don't know. Anyways, that was the synopsis. Rather short. Again, I would have made it much more lengthy. I would have went into his origins more, but we'll talk about that as I talk about the actual issue. So let's talk about the secret origin of the Atom. So if you listen to any of my episodes, you know that normally I start with the cover, so I'm not going to break tradition. Let's start with the cover. This has our logo, Secret Origins, featuring Power of the Atom, because he has his new book coming out, and came out the same month this came out. It's got the Power Atom logo. We get Ray in his new Power of the Atom costume. Next to him, we have the heads of Martian Manhunter and Batman. It's like the sides of their head, because we've got the Atom right in between them, by Stern, Turner, and Wilson. Down at the bottom, we have a little bar at the bottom that says, plus, Mr. America, and the Golden Age Red Tornado. Again, we're not going to cover those. We're just curious about. We're just worrying about the Atom. Again, I love this cover. Again, it's got a nice shot of the Atom's costume. We get to see Martian Manhunter and Batman on the side. Yeah, I just like the way this looks. We get a couple of your heroes. You get a well-known hero, and then you get the Martian Manhunter. No offense to Johns, but you know he's not as well-known. Well, I guess he is now because of the Supergirl TV show, but. Anyways, in between we get Ray Palmer, the Atom. Again, one of my favorite characters. And I really love this costume. So let's move on to the story. So like the beginning of it, it starts out, says, once upon a time, Raymond Palmer led a double life. In kind of like a script, a fairy tale type writing. And then we go into the narrator talking about how he's a research scientist. And Ray knew the respect and trust of scientists three times his age. Meanwhile, unknown to the rest of the world, he was the superhero known as the Atom. And again, this is a nice, very nice cover page. This art is done by Dwayne Turner, is the penciler, K.S. Wilson, the inker, Todd Klein's the letterer. There it is, Houlihan, I guess, is the colorist. And again, Mark Waid's the boy editor, as it calls him. And it says, based in parts on stories by Julia Schwartz, Gil Kane, Murphy Anderson, Jan Strand, and the late, great Gardner F. Fox. Because, you know, this pulls from the original Showcase number 14, which I'm going to talk about briefly also, because I've recently read that just in preparation for this. And it also pulls from the Sword of the Atom miniseries and specials they had just a few years ago, comic book-wise time. So... moving on. So again, we start out with Ray talking to, as I always have a problem with her name, Lithuan, I'm going to say. That's how I'm pronouncing it right now. It may change by the end of the episode. He's talking about Lithuan, or talking to Lithuan, about his secret origin, about his youth, about how he used to read a lot of books about our off-world, you know, Carson on Venus, or Alan Morgan on Far Off, Loran. He liked to play swashbuckler heroes. Him and his friend playing Swords of Styx. He'd watch the stars. And then here we see his buddy Ted Ralston, who was like a second father to him, showing him some ancient artifacts, which got Ray into digging things up. And archaeologist. An archaeology. And just being an adventurer type person. And like this, Loithan's like, would this Ted Ralston be impressed by your adventures? Oh, I like to think so. One thing's for certain, he never went on a dig like this. As we see the Atom and Loitha landing on their bird at a dig site where they've dug up, as we find out in the story, a chunk of white dwarf matter. Apparently that's what powered their ship years ago to get him to Earth. And the Atom, he's down there trying to pull it up, and Voss, his right-hand man, who he's all, hard to believe that was so small, a rock that was once part of a star. Now what? We cannot possibly move it. despite its size. It was said to weigh near as much as the old city of Walada, which is the city they used to have before it was destroyed in one of the Adam specials, I believe it was, we just talked about. I say we just talked about. It's been like 2 years ago now, but... And Adam's like, maybe, maybe not. And Voss is like, Adam. And Ray's like, get back, Voss, and give me some room. As he chucks the white... And again, this here on page 4. And I love that they have the pages numbered. That's always sad. I love so I can reference it. Again, we see Ray pulling the white dwarf star out of the ground and just chucking it up to the ground. We see the motion of him lifting up higher and throwing it. And then he just turns to Voss. Now then, you were saying? And we come back to New Mordada, whatever. And we get Adam again being the scientist he is, doing experiments and figuring out where it's coming from, what happened to it. And again, Voss is still, he's like, I'm amazed to none. And He says, I am second to none in my respect for your might, Adam, but such a feat of strength is enough to make one doubt his senses. And Ray's like, relax, Voss. I'm no Superman. How shall I explain it? See, somehow your ancestors had captured part of the core of a dwarf star to fuel their ship's star drive. Such stellar matter is incredibly dense, with a great deal of mass crammed in a small volume. And he talks about how when the star drive melted down, became unstable. And Voss is like, so it lost part of its mass? He's like, not really. It kind of disappeared into another dimension. And Ray is using his devices to enlarge the white dwarf matter. As he says, he's coaxing some of its mass back. Increasing the mass, decrease the density, or both. And you increase the volume. And Voss is like, but how? And then Adam tells him that he's learned a lot about this. And then we go to his flashback to his origin story from Showcase 34. I think I may have said 14 earlier. It was actually Showcase number 34. On that one there, it says Showcase presents the Atom. It says featuring Battle of the Tiny Titans. And we see the Atom popping a cork on a genie's bottle. I actually got that on a t-shirt, which I guess that's in the actual story itself. Actually, it doesn't happen. That's in the main story, the second story. Because the first story in that issue is his origin, which we're going to be talking about now. And then it goes into a second story where he fights the genie that we see on the cover. So, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. So let's go ahead and go back to Secret Origins. So again, Ray's speeding down the road. He's driving down the road. It was a summer night. And he sees a meteorite crash out in the field. He jumps over and tries lifting it. And it was super heavy. Because, as we know, it becomes white dwarf. And again, I'm debating how to do this. But I think I'm going to talk about it in tandem. So here on the Showcase story, we see Ray, it's at night. On the Secret Origins issue, he says it's at night, but it looks like it's day, just due to the coloring of the sky. Whereas in the actual Showcase issue, it is night. Also in the Showcase issue, he's got a brown suit on. While in the more modern Secret Origin story, he's got like a brown, is that a sweater or something? A brown slack. So I like they've updated it because he wouldn't normally be just driving around in a suit or a, you know, two-piece suit, three, whatever it is. This would be something he would be wearing more than likely out. And I do like while they changed the style of car, I don't know about cars, but one's blue, one's red. And there's different styles of car. They're both convertibles. So I do like, even though they've updated it, they've changed it for a modern setting, they've kept, like I say, he's got brown clothes on here, he's got brown clothes on there, he's got a convertible. And a lot of the scenes are not duplicates, but it's like when they drew this issue, they maybe had this book they were looking at, because it's very close as far as the layout. Because in the showcase issue, he shows him jumping over a fence. In the Secret Origins issue, he's jumping over a fence. Next, he comes running up and sees the... And this one is probably one of the most different, I guess. The first panel in the Secret Origins book shows him looking down at the meteorite. The second panel on the showcase story, he's lifting it. And the third panel in the showcase, he's got it holding it up. Talking about how, you know, he doesn't know the odds of the white dwarf hitting another in outer space. But it could happen. When it did, this piece drifts into land into this field. And in the more modern Secret Origins issue, the third panel shows him lifting. Technically, it's the fourth panel. We're skipping the car panel on this one because they didn't have this on the showcase one. lifting the white dwarf up, white dwarf star. And then the next panel in both books shows him lugging the rock to his car. And it's not a exact match. It's not a lift. It's very much a different angle. Like I say, different clothes, different car, different point of view of it. But I do like that it's really tied into what they did originally. And then here at the bottom of the page, they've got him, let me see, in the original story, he's talking about how he, let me see real quick, from the fragment of the star he cut out, cut and polish a reducing lens, and we show him shrinking a couch or something. In the showcase, I'm sorry, the Secret Origins book, he's running experiments on it, and here he shrinks down some tests to, or a, some test equipment is what he shrinks down here. And then he shrinks down a chair that explodes, where in the actual showcase issue, looks like maybe a couch, or I'm not quite sure what it is, but whatever it is, it exploded also. So I do like, and then Gene comes in again. Gene in the showcase story has short black hair. In the more modern story, she has longer hair. And I always prefer a girl with longer hair myself, but that's me. And again, she's got a similar, I mean, not really similar, but she's got a blue business-looking jacket and dress on, or skirt, whatever it is. And the original story she's got, it's a more, definitely more of a 60s era clothing, as I say, costume, clothing. She's got a white, red jacket over a white turtleneck, a little white, or I'm sorry, a little red, what is that, pillbox. But again, you could almost follow these stories along, and while the dialogue isn't the same, it's very similar to what's going on in both books. And again, just in both books, when Gene shows up, Ray produces a ring and asks Gene to marry him. She turns him down. She wants to, in the showcase book, it says, you know, I'm very well determined to prove I can be as successful as a lawyer before I give up my career and settle down. And he's like, just like I want to prove myself as a research scientist. And in the more modern book, she's like, oh, Ray, we've been over this a dozen times. I love you dearly. But you know, I want to get my law practice on the firm ground before I settle down. So again, they've got the same reasons. It's exact same story, but told differently, which I like. Again, if you read the original story oh so many years ago, and then you read the Secret Origins, you would see enough similarities to know that it's the same character, but they've updated and modernized it a bit. And let me interrupt myself real quick to let you know that I know I'm not recording it at the zoo, or I haven't been captured by wild birds. Over the last couple of weeks, my wife has, she found a parakeet walking through the store, long story, and then she ended up buying another parakeet to have a friend. So that's what we hear in the background. So please excuse that. Let's go ahead and move on to the story. And so in the Secret Origins issue, Ray, he talks about it a little bit differently than he does in the showcase book. In fact, I like the Secret Origins a little better because Ray, you know, actually says, sure, just as I want to prove myself as a research scientist, which he really wouldn't need to say. Here he explains to Loatha and Voss, he's like, you know, I just hardly want to criticize. After all, I was burning the candle at both ends, doing my regular work while trying to become the Einstein of molecular reduction on the side. And Loatha's like, I can't believe it. you loved each other, yet you allowed ambition to keep you apart. And Ray's like, looking back, it does sound loony. That's the way we were. I'm afraid a lot of people in my generation were like that. We were in a rush to have it all. We were in a rush to have fun. And again, in both stories, they go to a cave. They're taking a bunch of kids. In the Secret Origins, he says he was supervising a group of school kids in nature studies. Him and Gene were leading him through a cave when all of a sudden there was an earth tremor that brought part of the ceiling down. And then in the original Showcase story, it's a nature club that's hiking in the country. And again, they go into the cave. And it's a little bit longer, but the cave again collapses. And again, in the original story, like I say, it takes a bit longer for the cave to collapse because they're trying to give us a little bit of knowledge. Because again, back then, we had Worthingham saying how comics were bad and Batman and Robin were gay and oh no, this is all bad stuff. So they kind of fit a little knowledge in here as they're going along. They get some students talking about slagmites and stagmites and they're figuring out which is which. And Ray's like, you seem confused. Well, here's a simple way to remember which is which. Slagite has a C in it. Let it stand for ceiling. Slagmite has a G, which stands for ground. Slagtite are from ceiling. Slagmites are from the ground. And then we get the cave crushing in on them. We're not crushing them, but the cave collapsing, the ceiling blocking them in. And again, this is very similar in each story. Again, we're talking about the Showcase issue, or the, Secret Origins. Ray's looking for an exit. He finds a little pinhole. And he takes he happened to slip the reducing lens he made into his backpack when Gene showed up earlier. He pulls it out and he balances it between two rocks where the light will come in, hit it, and cause him to shrink. And so it does. Where in the original story, again, he does kind of the same thing. He takes two rocks, places the reducing lens between them. And here he uses the wedding ring to cut his way out. That's one of the major differences in the two stories, is that in the Showcase story, he shrinks down, he picks the wedding ring up that he set down, and he climbs up to the side of the rock, and he uses the diamond to cut through rocks. Again, a little more knowledge for you. That diamond's so hard, it easily cuts through rocks, and he breaks an opening, and as he jumps down, runs back, gets to the lens, he grows tall, but he feels like he's not going to explode now. And when he's looking, he sees it's covered with water from the rock ceiling. And he says it must have some special chemical, which allowed him to grow back to normal size. And again, this is the Showcase issue from back in the day. Ray leads him out. And our story ends. Back in the Secret Origins issue, he doesn't use the wedding ring here, or the engagement ring. He shrinks down, he crawls up, and he finds the hole again still. But now he starts to enlarge the opening. He's pushing it open. And as he's breaking it, he said, I was against rock and earth, but with my man-sized strength and increased density, I was betting that would give before I would. I heard an awful cracking noise and prayed it wasn't my back. It wasn't. And so here, instead of using the ring to cut a way out, he got in the opening and just kind of pushed it open using his human strength in a 6-inch size. And again, same way when he lands back on the ground, he feels his body kind of shaking. He gets back into the lens and he grows. And here it looks like he skips the whole water thing on the lens. He jumps straight to the same thing he discovers in the Showcase book later on, is that the water was just normal water. It didn't have any effect on the reducing his size or him being returned. So it must be something in his own body. Again, this is the Showcase book. I can come to one conclusion that some mysterious force in my own body, whatever it is, I don't know yet, enabled me to regain my proper size. With further experiments, I'll be able to solve this problem. Now that I'm able to turn myself into a human atom, who knows what strange and wonderful things may happen. The end. And that was a 10-page story, it looks like. Back over in the showcase book, again, we're up to page 12. But again, they're interspacing this with scenes from him talking to present day. So it's about, they took about the same amount of time to tell the same story. And here Ray continues on because it's not the end of the story. He says he's able to tinker it, but he's able to perfect it only for himself. And Voss is like, but why? If you were one of Earth's mighty giant race, why would you do it to our size? And the way says, Voss? And Ray's like, that's a valid question. The only way I could advance the research was to use myself as a test subject. And so he talks about how he, and again, this doesn't come from the first issue, actually maybe in the second, so I didn't read that one yet. In the second story, in the showcase book, he has his costume. Here he talks about how he fashioned a miniature costume from part of the White Dwarf fragments. When he stretched to full size, it was invisible. But when he used microelectronic controls to shrink the costume, it became visible, and he became the Atom. And again, he talks about how he learned to reduce his mass as well as his size. And then here at the bottom of page 12, we see a nice shot of the Atom in his costume jumping and knocking a bad guy out. And Ray talks a little bit more about how, you know, him and Jean end up getting married. But right before that, on the same page, page 12, we see, as Ray shrinks down, we see Ray in his lab coat and slacks and shirt shrinking down. And as he shrinks down, the costume starts to appear over part of his body. And we get like four stages of him shrinking down until he gets to the Atom size. And again, I don't know, just something about the Atom. I love his costume. I love the way they show him shrinking down. Just a great character. And then the next page talks about how he fights different villains, like Cronus the Time Bandit. And they're put to good use on missions of espionage for the governments. And he talks about how his greatest adventures was in the Justice League. And again, he's like, I was never more honored than when they asked me to join them in the Justice League of America. And here we have a nice shot of the modern day Justice League. Well, not really. I mean, because in Secret Origins, I think it's right after this, they retell the secret origins of the Justice League, where Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman aren't part of the original League. This is where we got Aquaman, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Batman, The Flash, and Martian Manhunter with the Atom in the League. And this here is on the bottom of page 13. It's a great shot of the Justice League. In fact, while we're talking about it, I had to look it up. And it looks like it's issue 14 of Justice League of America when the Atom joins them. The cover's got the Justice League members set up like bowling pins, and the mysterious villain, all we see is his hand, has the Atom in a little crystal ball, looks like, or a clear bowling ball, throwing him at the Justice League member, saying, the Atom joins the Justice League of America in Menace of the Atom Bomb. And the heroes in this story was Batman, Aquaman, Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, the Martian Manhunter, Superman, and Wonder Woman, along with Stamper Carr. So I don't know if Hawkman had joined yet, or if he was later on, or when this took place, but I know they were all members of the team at the same time, and this is a nice shot. I just wish they would have had either Wonder Woman or Black Canary on it. I guess at this point, probably would have been Black Canary, because Wonder Woman didn't join until, in the new continuity, until Legends, so. And by that point, the Atom, I believe, was off to Little People Land. But no, this is a great shot here on the bottom of page 13 of the Justice League. Got the Justice League logo down there. And then we cut to the next page where we have a giant scene of the Atom with his hands out. On one side is Ray Palmer. The other side is Jean and her partner, Paul, who she cheated on Ray with, which we talked about back in the Sword of the Atom miniseries. And at this point, we kind of, a couple panels here talks about what we talked about. Again, it's been like 2 years ago since we talked about it. Wow, it's been a while. The Sword of the Atom miniseries. He wound up fighting drug smugglers on a flight over the Amazon, struck by lightning, fell into the waters, came to, found he was stuck at the size. And he first laid eyes on Princess Lilithan and the Warriors of Morlodai. And Voss is like, I know full well how you came to live among us, Atom. But as for the rest, ha, huh, I am not a gullible babe. And Ray's like, don't believe me, Voss? And Voss is all,
Adam, I'll accept your word on the power of your science, but you've already proved yourself to be a brave and mighty warrior. There's no need for tall tales of winged men and green-skinned giants. And Rain's like, well, believe it or not. And also an alarm cuts in, cutting him off. And the city's under attack from some other of their race that was, they were exiled to a secret penal colony in the remote jungle. And they kind of lost contact with each other. And again, so it shows them fighting, and Adam jumps into the middle of the fray. And again, one of the attacking guys like, look out, it's the pink skin, the one they call Adam. And again, Adam's out there with his sword, swashbuckling away, cutting and slicing into the bad guys. And again, this he went from being a superhero, shrinking down and growing and changing his mask and beating the crap out of bad guys, either supervillains or criminals, to a swashbuckling character. And it's a pretty big difference from where he was to where he is now. But I like the original Adam, the Ray Palmer, his original stories. But I do like this version of Ray too. I think it's an interesting look. It's an interesting take on the character. And it's still in line with what he's done previously, but now he's stuck at this size. And he's living a warrior type style, which I think is interesting stories. And then after the battle, we go back to Ray looking into the White Dwarf meteor, and we find out that he's discovered that he could use this new dwarf star he found to restore his own white, his own size and weight. And also apparently, he discovers that the ship was malfunctioning and the white dwarf matter was causing the ship to shrink on its journey to Earth. So these aren't just little people that crashed on Earth, which is a bigger planet. They were shrunk down by the star, the white dwarf meteor, without even knowing it. And so he's thinking about, well, can I use this to restore them to the normal size, make them normal size? But he's like, well, they've staked out their territory in the world's most unforgiving jungles. If he enlarges them, they'd have less fear from the jungle, but they'd also become noticed by the rest of the world. Maybe it's best they stay small for right now. And Lathan shows up. And again, the story ends with the warriors having a funeral pyre for their enemies. And their let me see here. It says Lathan telling them that they're burning their enemies, and their ashes will be mixed with mortar to repair the city walls. And she's like, our enemies will serve to only make us stronger. And he talks about things about how she says that with glee, and how he's kind of gleeful himself about it. Maybe we're all barbarians under the skin. I certainly fell in local customs easily enough. Without my size control, I'm just another little man with a sword. Who am I to teach these people a better way? Who am I indeed? And then it ends with the Adam and Lathan watching the fires burn. And it says, this is not the end. Watch for the further adventures of the Adam in an all-new series on sale next week. So again, that was a great... I love the Adam. I love reading this. And I love comparing it to the original showcase book that starred the Adam. The Adam starred it originally. So that was a great series. Again, for more on Secret Origins, check out the now defunct Secret Origins podcast by a friend of the show, Ryan Daly. His episode 29, he covered this issue of The Atom. And he also talks about the other stories in here, Mr. America and The Red Tornado. I'm not going to go into them because they're not my characters. I don't care for them so much. They're okay, but they're not what I care for. I'm here for The Atom. And so that's going to do it for The Power of the Atom, the secret origins of them at least. Like I said, I love this hero. We'll find out more as we get going on next month. As long as nothing delays me, we'll be starting Power of the Atom, issue number 1. It was an 18-issue series, and we'll talk more about that next month. So go ahead, listen for the commercial breaks, and I will be right back with you.
Head Speaks will be back after these important messages.
In 1974, four men literally changed the face of rock and roll forever.
Gene Simmons, Peter Criss, Ace Frehley and Paul Stanley wanted to become the band they never got to see.
Over the next 40 plus years, the music, the makeup, the merchandise, and the loyal fan base have propelled Kiss to one of rock and roll's elite groups.
With Kiss heading down their end of the road tour, we thought we would start our journey.
Turn it up to 10 because we love it loud.
Right Between the Eyes is a podcast all about our favorite band, Kiss.
We will be covering all eras of Kiss with the various albums, studio, live, and compilations, plus album mashups and more.
We will also cover solo and band projects from all members, past and present, while also looking at the various bands that have opened for Kiss as well.
Not to mention all of the fun items in the Kiss catalog. TV appearances, long-form videos, merchandise, comic books. Come on, the list goes on and on.
Coming in late May, early June 2021 to a podcast platform near you.
Follow us on Twitter at RBTE Podcast.
Loud.
I want to hear it loud.
Right between the eyes.
It's Citizen Kane Minute. Hosted by film fanatic Rob Kelly and a collection of special guests, Citizen Kane Minute will examine the greatest film of all time, 5 minutes at a time. Coming soon to the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
There was an idea
to bring together a group of remarkable people.
To see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could make the podcasts
that they never could.
In time, you will know what it is like to cross over. To feel so desperately that the comic is right, yet to fail all the same. Dread it. Run from it. March 2021 still arrives.
Evacuate the network. Engage all defenses. And get this man a cold Mountain Dew.
Ooh, a cold Mountain Dew. I haven't tried one of those. Nah. Make it warm. Thank you.
Sun isn't something one considers when podcasting an event. But this does put a smile on my face.
Who the hell are you guys?
The Merry Marvel Marching Society. We don't know where we're going, but we're on the way.
A podcasting crossover mega event in the spirit of J.L. May, coming in March 2021, covering Marvel's fall crossover event, Acts of Vengeance.
A cabal of evil threatens the Avengers and the entire Marvel Universe.
Dr. Doom, the Red Skull, Kingpin, Dr. Doom, Magneto, the Wizard, Dr. Doom, the Mandarin, and Dr. Doom have banded together to pit Earth's mightiest heroes against foes they have never faced before.
An array of heroes face enemies they are totally unfamiliar with.
But who is secretly pulling the vengeful cabal strings?
And can the Avengers take down the true mastermind before his hidden scheme succeeds?
Featuring podcasts from Third Degree Burn, Back to the Bins, Avenger Spotlight, Coffee and Comics, Comic Book Time Machine, Doom Speak, Fan Holes Podcast, Fire and Water Podcast Network, Head Speaks, Into the Weird, Justice, Not Entirely Dissimilar to Lightning, a Thunderbolts podcast, Longbox Crusade, Married with Comics, The Quantum Cast, Resurrections, an Adam Warlock podcast, Rolled Spine podcasts, and Views from the Longbox.
Marching its way to your favorite podcatchers and hosting sites in 2021.
Act of Vengeance, a true story.
Theorizing that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator and vanished.
And when he does vanish, we're going to be there to see it. I'm Aaron Moss.
And I'm Michelle Moss. I've seen an episode or two of the show, but this is my first time watching it through, which makes me like Sam.
And I've seen every episode, multiple times. So I guess that makes me Ziggy. Join us monthly as we watch Quantum Leap, episode by episode, and then we'll discuss it.
On the Star Bright Project. Available on its own feed.
Or under the Headcast Network.
Come take the leap with us.
And now back to Head Speaks.
Welcome back to the show. Be sure to check out those shows. Yes, I still have a promo up for the MMMS 2021, but it was a great crossover, and there was a lot of episode podcasts involved with that, so definitely look them up. Look for hashtag, I think it's MMS 2021. And listen to all the different podcasts. It was a great, great crossover. That's why I'm still playing promos for it. But anyways, enough about that. Let's move on to the next segment.
This is the Chronicles of Head.
So this episode of the Chronicles of Head, basically, it's going to do some updates on my life and some of the reasons for my delays in getting these episodes out timely. I know I've been working on this, and again, I am a work in progress. So anyways, some updates on my life. As I've talked about in previous episodes, a year and a half ago, I guess it's been now, I had some marital problems. I haven't gone into much detail about that. I'm still working through that. We're still together, me and my wife, so there is that. But yeah, I'm still working through that. And as I think I've talked about before, I have been diagnosed with bouts of depression. And sometimes that makes it hard to want to get up and podcast. Again, trying to find time with the family. Trying to find some quiet time. And just... And when I do have time, sometimes I just don't feel in the mood because my depression's like weighing down on me. And I just feel inadequate, I guess, to the task of podcasting. In fact, a lot of times I feel inadequate to everything. Podcasting, work, being a parent, a husband, everything, a friend. And so that's one thing I'm really dealing with. And that's one of the biggest problems I'm having right now getting these episodes out is just trying to find time when it's quiet around the house and also fighting through the depression and just getting getting on the stick, I guess, and doing it. I am working on that. Please bear with me. I thank you guys that are bearing with me and still here. Also, over the last couple of months, my middle son, who is 27, he's recently got a divorce from his wife, and him and his girlfriend have moved in. So I've kind of been the kindly father that I am. I've given up man land. I moved my desk out to the garage itself, boxed up almost all my stuff, and I've given my son and his girlfriend man land to use as a bedroom. Also, again, we've got a three-bedroom house. My daughter has one. My son had the other. And me and my wife was in the master bedroom. Again, you'll notice I said my son had one. We moved my six-year-old son in with us now. So in my room, we've got our big queen or king-size bed and his bed also with dressers, TV, and everything. And in his room, my son's girlfriend's children are residing there, well, every other week right now. And that's why I kind of took them in, let them come move back in, is because they were living with my oldest son. But it was hard in their little apartment to have her three kids over on a regular basis. So I let them move in here so they have some sort, until they get a house of their own or apartment or whatever, they have a regular residence. So now she's got her kids every other week. So her kids are over. So they're like my grandkids at this point. So I've got my three-year-old granddaughter from my son. And then my middle son, his girlfriend has two girls and a son who are here every other week. And they're like my grandkids now. They don't call me grandpa. They call me Bread. Apparently, Alice, she is studying other languages and I guess in Gaelic. Aaron sounds like Aaron or something. I forget how she pronounces it, which translates to Bread, which is kind of perfect because one, A, I really like bread. And two, well, my nickname is Head. So I'm Head Bread. Breadhead. Anyways. So yeah, so that's what's been going on in my life. I've still got my six-year-old son. He's laying here next to me right now. In fact, as I'm recording, my 12 going on 13-year-old daughter actually just turned 13 a couple of days ago as this recording. She's been a teenager for a couple of years now, but she officially turned a teenager on the 19th of April. I love my little girl. She's no longer a little girl. She's an Amazon queen at this point. She's into anime and Dungeons and Dragons and drawing and stuff. So she's not so much into the superheroes like she used to be. For those that's been with me for a while knows that she had her own podcast for half a dozen episodes, Alexa Speaks, and taking after her daddy. But she kind of dropped that, and now she's doing her own thing, drawing, into anime, very angsty teenager stuff. But that's what's been going on in my life. I'm still working at the IRS. I was working as a manager for a while. Then we had the whole... So let's go back a little bit. I think I've talked about this previously, but right before the pandemic hit, I was off work for a couple of weeks with pneumonia. As I'm recovering from pneumonia, then the whole pandemic starts, the whole coronavirus. So then I'm off work even longer. And eventually they start calling people back in. And at some point I'm high risk because diabetes and pneumonia and everything else I've got going on with me, I'm technically high risk. So I was still working from home. The higher ups wanted all the managers back, so they sent me back to my exam position. So now I'm going into the office one day a week. The other 4 days of the week, I'm working from home on my computer, usually out in the garage. Sometimes the wife will talk me coming inside, but this couch gets too damn comfortable, and she comes in here and sits next to me and cuddles up, and that's a recipe for disaster. So I try to work out in the garage mostly at my desk because it's a little bit harder to fall asleep there. But yeah, so I'm a lead examiner at the IRS at this point. At work, a podcaster when I can in the evening, full-time father, and every other week, grandfather. Well, my grandfather all the time with my daughter, my granddaughter, but like I said, my son, Steven, his girlfriend, Lainey, is living here with us also, and she's got three kids, Ellie, Alice, and Toby. Wonderful kids, sweet as can be. They are like my new grandchildren, so that's kind of an update on the world of Head. That's going to do it for this part. Let's go in without any more commercial breaks. Let's move on to the next segment of the show.
On your mark, get set. We're riding on the internet. The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection, so I don't have to wait.
For porn. What?
There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn.
Internet porn, Roman orgy scenes. Internet porn, dominatrix queens. Internet porn, girl on girl on girl on girl on girl on guy on sheep.
Bet you're going surfing on the internet.
Where is Head going?
I don't think I've done one of these in a while. Where's Head going? This month, I've talked about a little bit here and there in previous episodes. This time, I'm going to do a full out Where's Head going on it. We're talking about patreon.com/headcastnetwork. Yes. Patreon, that's patreon.com/headcastnetwork. That is where Head is going today. What, you may ask, is patreon.com? Well, that's a website you can go to and you can sponsor different people, shows, whatever they got going on. I have one set up for my podcasting endeavors. And again, it's at Headcast Network. I've got 4 levels set up. You can join for as little as $1 a month. With those, you get a thank you. Special thanks on Heads Speaks and the Heads Mailbag every month. Then it goes to the $4, where not only do you get the special thanks, but any other show I'm doing, you'll get a special thanks as a mailbag segment. At the minimum, it's Head Speaks and G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast. The $10 monthly premium is, again, all the above. Plus, you can send an email with your name or a message or whatever you want within limits. And at the beginning of each show that you want, you tell what show you want, I will play a special, this episode is sponsored by, insert your name or message. You can also let me know if you want it before the pre-recorded intro or after. As you can probably tell, most of my intros are pre-recorded at the very beginning. I can play it before that or after that when I start the show proper. And then my final level, which I call the extra mile, is $20 a month. Not only do you get everything I've mentioned before, but at some point I'm going to start picking out a 5th week event episode. In comic books, there's, you know, comics every week. There's normally 4 weeks out of the month. Every quarter, there's a 5th week. And at one time, comics are doing something special at that point. So I'm going to start doing a new show called The Headcast Network Presents. And as I say on the Patreon page, what will be in it? Who knows? Review of a different comic, TV show, movie, whatever I feel like petting out. But if you're on that tier, you get the premiere, the episode of The Headcast Network Presents. And in fact, also if you're on the $20 a month, which I call the extra mile, as I said, not only if you give me some suggestions, you can give me suggestions of ideas that I will do a show on. Again, within limits, there's some things I may not want to do or I don't know enough about. But as long as I can talk about it, I'll do a show on it. So definitely check it out. It's patreon.com/headcastnetwork. Currently, I've only got one person that is a Patreon, and I thank him very much, which I will mention at this point because, well, he deserves it. So thank you very much, Cosplay Dad. In fact, it looks like he's been a member since December, but doing, like I said, the delays I've been having, I forgot to check Patreon because, well, it's been so long since I've set it up and no one's joined it. It's no excuse, but I kind of forgot to check it. So I am announcing him now. I'm going to talk about him during the mailbag section this episode. And in fact, since I haven't been doing it, I'm going to give him a special shout out next week over on my G.I. Joe show, G.I. Joe, Royal American Headcast. I'm going to be sure to mention him over there also as a special shout out because, again, he's been a member. And, again, he's only doing the $1 a month charge. He's not doing the $4, but seeing how I kind of messed up and haven't been doing it like I should, I am going to mention him over there also. So, again, thank you very much, Cosplay Dad. I appreciate your support. It means a lot to me. If you want your name right off on the shows, please join us over at patreon.com/headcastnetwork. And I'll read your name or whatever membership you're on to. But that's going to do it for Where's Head Going. At this point, we're going to go ahead and go into our final segments, which is
Mail time. Here's the mail.
It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
You've got mail.
So here is Head's mailbag. As I talked about just moments ago, literally moments ago, we're going to start out with the Patreon. Again, that's patreon.com/headcastnetwork. Who do we have for the Patreon? Well, as we talked about, if you don't know, maybe you need to remember, we have Cosplay Dad. Again, as I said, I should have been doing this the last couple of months, but again, I've been kind of out of things the last couple of months. So Cosplay Dad, he is our Patreon for this month. So I wish, again, wish to thank you very much, Cosplay Dad. As I said, due to not having done these in the last several months, I will be doing you also, mentioning you, doing you? I don't think you'll be doing you. Anyways, I'll be mentioning you over on the G.I. Joe show next week. But that's it for Patreon. Now let's go ahead and move on to the Facebooks. Again, this isn't as much as it usually is. It's not too bad. I get these alphabetical orders. It's a long list of names, but these are all people that's either supported, commented, liked, or whatever the show. So please bear with me as I read through a list of names. We have Albert Mark Burge, which is a friend of mine, an online friend of mine named Albie, that I met him on his Quantum Leap podcast, which kind of inspired me to do my own. Ben Avery, Bill Bear, Bob Fisher. He's a big Superman fan. I like Bob. Me and Bob's talked over on the Krypton podcast I was doing for a short period of time. Brad Cordell, Brad Kyle, who is my cousin I've talked about previously. He's the one that kind of helped get me into G.I. Joe. Brian D. Weebler, Brian Lydiard. He is working with John Bryans over on the Action Force and the PandaCon and all these other. It's a new, cool, it's going to be comic book, cartoons, toys. We talked about this here over on Bravo Team here a month or so ago. Definitely check that out. Brian's a cool guy. Moving on, Chris Sheehan, who is over on Chris is on Infinite Earths, and he's got a bunch of other podcasts. He was podcasting with a podcast partner of his, Reggie Hancock, who recently passed away. Our condolences to both Chris and Reggie's family. He was a great guy. Sadly, I never got around to podcasting with him. I was going to have him and Chris on one of my Armageddon 2001 annuals, but due to life, I got delayed in that. And unfortunately, Reggie got sick, was in the hospital for around doing that. So I am deeply saddened that I missed the opportunity to speak with the guy. I love listening to his shows, and Chris is a great guy himself. In fact, we've talked about him before. I've actually worked with him without knowing it. Our friends DC in the 80s, they got a hold of me because they're doing a segment on the Impel G.I. Joe cards. And so he would send me his thoughts and a couple other people's thoughts, and I would add my thoughts in. And he would post this on his website, DC in the 80s. Well, one of the other contributors was Chris Sheehan. So I did not realize that until later on. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I know him. Anyways, Chris Sheehan, Clinton Robinson, Cuckoo Kachu, Daniel McConkey, Daniel Rodriguez, Darren Kohler. That's our buddy from up north. Delvin Williams, he's over in the Long Box Crusade Network whole thing. Denise Pomeroy, she's over in the Voyager's, was the Voyager's Guidebook Facebook page. Nice gal. Hey, Denise. Derek Lowe, my nephew. Derek William Crabb, another podcasting buddy. Edward Idol, Gene Hendricks. Lean Mean Gene, the podcasting machine. Jerry Green. Of course, the ever popular Hal Jordan. He's a great follower, great fan, great listener. I love Hal Jordan. He's a great guy. Hayden McQueenie. He's our friend from Down Under. And he appears usually on the Starbright Project podcast I do with my wife. Ivan Chudley. Jason Albrick. His brother Jared is on my G.I. Joe show also. Another couple great guys. Jason Jones. He is the, again, he's a big fan of Captain Adam, who is a Firestorm analog. He's also the Wild Dog guy. Love you, Jason, buddy. Jennifer Winkle, Joey Galavez, John Burns. I'm sorry, Brian's. As I talked about earlier, he was on an episode or two ago of G.I. Joe and the Bravo team. Great guy. Jonathan Schaefer Hames, another podcaster I know I've worked with. Keith G. Baker, Ken Tomlin, he's very, very vocal over on my G.I. Joe Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/G.I. Joe. Kevin M. Reitzel, again, Kevin is over on my G.I. Joe show also, and he's got his own network with his buddy, Kyle Wagner. Lee Fillingness, who's a friend of Kevin's, and he's on my Voyager's Cast show usually. Luke Dobb, a very creative man. Mark Small, Max Traver, Michael Kramer, Michelle Moss, who happens to be my wife. Yeah, she joined up with my Facebook group. Mike Hewitt, Mike Siebert, who again is a podcaster in his own right and has the Mike Siebert Radio. Great guy. Mike Zombrowski, Milo Pantone, Neil Daly, Nicholas Prawn, Pat Sampson. Yes, Pat Sampson of the Long Box Crusade. And he also usually shows up on my G.I. Joe podcast. Ranger Gord, another one of our great friends from up north. Ray C. Hatley, who is used to be a real life buddy of mine. We haven't hung out in years, but when we were teenagers and young adults, we hung out and were friends. Ruth Sutherland, part of the greatest podcasting duet couple of all time. Scott Miller, Shag Matthews, aka the irredeemable Shag. Tammy Pook. Tim Price, who I've had on a couple of my shows, and Tom Panarese, who's another great podcaster. Yeah, a lot of us podcasters go back and forth on each other's pages. Then over on Instagram, which I've recently set up, you can find us at Headcast Network on Instagram. Again, I've got just the one Instagram account for all of my shows. Over there, we have 559 Heat. We have Chris is on Infinite Earths. Courtney Holland, 35, DC in the 80s, DC Now Podcast, DeBears 9606, that's my buddy Jason, we're friends in real life, Delvin Ray, Green Lantern HG, which may be known also as Hal Jordan, Long Box Crusade, Mike Siebert Radio, Michelle Moss, 2015, Not Brad Abraham, yes, Not Brad Abraham, he really is Brad Abraham. And he joins me usually on my G.I. Joe show. Thanks, Brad. Rad Adventures. That's part of Ruth and Darren Sutherland. I mentioned Ruth earlier. They've got their own podcast. The Hammer Strikes. That belongs to my buddy Gene and his podcasting endeavor and podcasting and also his blogging. Tim Price 17. Yes, the same Tim Price from earlier. Tom Panarese. And finally, Yard Sale Artist, which is our buddy Jared Albrick. Again, he's got his own... He's a great artist. Just check out Yard Sale Artist. He's a great guy and does some great work. But that is the Twitters, the Facebook, the Patreon. Instagram. I haven't done much of Twitter, so I don't have anything on that right now. I need to get back into that. I'm really bad at Twitter. Anyways, that's going to do it for Head's Mailbag. We're going to end this with Head's Final Thoughts. As usual, if you want to record a message, you can send it to me at head@headspeaks.com. Or if you want to send an email, leave it on the Facebook group, whatever. The Facebook group is Facebook, facebook.com/groups/headcastnetwork. As I talked about previously, check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/headcastnetwork. Check out my website, headcastnetwork.com. And finally, for my final thought today, I just want to say, be kind to one another. I know there's a whole BLM Black Lives movement. If you follow me on Facebook, you know I've gotten in trouble with people. In fact, Larry Hama stopped following because of my thoughts on this. But I don't feel Black Lives Matter. I feel that every life matters, or all lives matter, which I've switched over to every life matters for other reasons. But we'll talk about that later, maybe. But again, yes, Black lives are in danger, but right now, Asian lives are in danger. Usually Hispanic lives are in danger. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. My feeling is if we would treat each other with respect and caring and like the Golden Rule says, treat others as you want to be treated, basically. If we treat each other as we want to be treated, the world would be a whole lot better place and we wouldn't have all these problems that we're having. So maybe that's just me, but like I said, hashtag every life matters. I'm sorry if you don't like that. And again, a lot of people, when I get in conversations on Facebook about this, are like, well, why do you bring white lives in? Well, I'm not talking about just white lives. I'm talking about every life. Again, Asians are in danger of being hurt right now. Hispanics are always being targeted. Black people, it don't matter where you're from. Hindus, I'm trying to think of some other, but wherever you're from, it doesn't really matter what color your skin is. Deep down, we're all the same inside. And man, let's just treat everybody with kindness. That's all I got to say. That's going to do it for this episode. Until next month, remember,
Head has spoken.
Thank you for listening to another fantastic episode of Head Speaks. Hope you enjoyed it. If so, let me know. Drop me an email to head@headspeaks.com or visit our home at head.headspeaks.com. You can also visit and talk with me on Facebook and Google+, both under Head Speaks. You can also send an MP3 file with your thoughts and I can play that on the air. And you can also get more of me on my other podcasts. Be sure to listen to Task Force X, where monthly I look at John Ostringer's Suicide Squad and Paul Kupperberg's Checkmate comics from the 80s and early 90s. Also, over on G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast, my podcasting friends Ryan Daly and Kyle Benning, along with myself, are looking at all of the G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero comics, and related titles from Marvel and IDW. All of my headcasts are available on iTunes and Stitcher, along with the respective blogs and my main page at headspeaks.com. All comments, thoughts, and opinions expressed on Head Speaks are owned wholly by the speaker of said comments and do not express the opinions of Head Speaks, unless, of course, I'm the one making the comments. Head Speaks, Task Force X, and G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast, are all part of the Headcast family. So join us next month for another wonderful episode of Head Speaks. Until then, I'll see you in the funny pages. Good night.